Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. King David said, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." The pandemic exposed the true condition of man. In today's message, Pastor Joel shares the reality of man's heart as he begins to wrap up the teaching series entitled, What's in Your Heart? What's on Your Heart?
The sermon today is, of course, and I believe this will be the finale of our series, What's in Your Heart? What's on Your Heart?
Amen.
What is in your heart and what is on your heart? So we're continuing with that, and hopefully by now we have a better understanding of our own hearts and how they operate. Amen. How our own hearts affect everything that we do or say. All right, our behavior, our conduct is precipitated largely by what's in our hearts and what's on our hearts. That's just a fact. Now, we've been taking a good look at the scripture in Jeremiah 17:9, and you all know that by now, the scripture which says the heart is deceitful, amen, and does it say it's deceitful in some things?
In all things.
Does it say it's deceitful in most things?
In all things.
How about a few things?
In all things.
No, the Bible says it's deceitful. The heart is deceitful in all things, and it says it's desperately wicked, all right? That's what the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that means that in its normal nature, in your normal state, the heart is not your friend. I know that's a hard one to deal with. That's a hard one to digest. But your heart in its natural state is not your friend. Now you might say, well, Pastor, wait a minute, it keeps me alive. Yes, it does. Physically, the heart is a wonderful organ. Keeps us alive, doesn't it? But by the same token, it can render you with a heart attack physically, amen? And that's what we're talking about. Not physically, but by that same token, some people are being taken out by spiritual heart attacks. Spiritually, amen? Now, that's a point to ponder. Our own hearts setting us up for failure, attacking us spiritually, because as the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and is desperately wicked. Who can even know it?
Who can know it?
And I don't know if you all know by now, but to be desperate means to be utterly hopeless situation. So when God chooses words for His scripture, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, He's putting emphasis on this desperation. That we are hopelessly desperate to do anything about our hearts in our natural state. Mm-hmm. We are at our hearts, at the hands of our hearts, all right? So that means that in our natural state of being, it's like the relationship with us and our hearts are like being in a relationship with someone whom you trust and on whom you depend, and you look to that person for assistance. And even to guide you, you know, because our hearts guide us, amen? And you thinking they have your best interests at heart, get it? And then you come to find out that they don't. Mm-hmm. That's how it is with our hearts. With a heart that is in its natural state. And that's, according to the Bible, a heart without Christ. A heart that doesn't know Christ. A heart that's not one with Christ. And that's what we've come to know about our hearts. And as I said earlier last week, that's why it's key that we turn our hearts over to the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And let the Lord do what David asked him. We went over that last week, and I'm going to ask Pastor to read that one again for us. Psalm 51, verse 10. I don't have much for you today. We're just going to tie some ends together. You all know this because we've been talking about it for weeks. Even months, really. But we want to nail some things home.
Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. I can't stress it enough, friends. We all need to be imploring God to work on our hearts.
Amen.
Work on me, Lord.
Yes.
Work on me. We all need work on our hearts.
Yes.
Okay. And we need to be imploring and asking, begging God to do spiritual surgery on my heart. Get it in shape, Lord.
Yes.
Don't let me go the way of Cain.
Yes.
You know, we need to be asking, Lord, to get in there, Lord, and David and Cain.
Daily.
Okay? Daily. We need to be asking, Lord, to get in there and cut some things out, like cut out the pride, Lord.
Cut it out.
To disconnect some valves, right? Take out that valve of selfishness and slice that vein of arrogance and deceit, right? And,
yes.
and reconnect a new cylinder. God has to extract the idolatry out of us. Some of us have so much idolatry in our hearts and we don't even know it. We need to let him get in there and get that stuff out. I've seen church folks who fancy themselves as worship leaders on Sundays, but the rest of the 6 days of the week, they're in the clubs.
Help us, Lord.
They're in the clubs and they're playing every kind of music, okay? They're playing music from R&B to rock and roll to jazz and promoting it. Some promote it on the internet. These are worship leaders. They don't know any better, you know, because they don't know their hearts. See, you got to have a heart turned over to God.
Yes.
You know, we have to resist the things of the world. If we say we promote God, then let's promote God. Let's promote God every day of your life.
Yes.
That's what we talk about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20. We are ambassadors for the Lord. That's what he talks about. And some people don't want to hear that. But you see, we have to tell the truth because we're spirit of truth. And the time is running out. Okay? We need to know that if we're committed to the Lord, and if we're gigging during the week, well, what is church but another gig?
Hmm.
What is church? Just another payday for you. If that's what we do, we've got musicians that go all over. I told you, I know a pastor, he shut down his whole worship team, and they were some thumping musicians. They were some bass playing musicians. They were some drumming, throw the sticks up and catch them and all that stuff. Almost like it was a gig. And you know what? He doesn't have a worship team to this day. Because he saw something. I'm sure he needs music in his church. I'm sure he wants music. But I'm here to tell you, if we're not going to operate by God's standard, we can sit and clap our hands and make some music. You know, it says, let everything praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let the hand clap. Let the toe tap.
Yes.
Whatever the case may be, praise the Lord. And so when it comes to serving God, we want to serve him and not the things of the world.
Help us, Lord.
Okay, we want to represent God and not the things of the world. We need to think about it, but we don't understand it because our hearts are not completely turned over to God. And don't even ask me what that word completely means, because it's going to take a whole lot of work pressing toward the goal for the prize. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul is talking about. We got to keep pressing, but we have to allow the Lord to change us. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why we put this out. God has to get in there and get the idolatry out of you. We can't idolize the world. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:21 that you can't drink the cup of the Lord and cup of demons. God doesn't go for that. Can't sit at the Lord's table and then go sit at the table of demons and come to God's table with crumbs on your mouth talking about, I'm ready to eat, Lord. You've already eaten.
Help us, Lord.
You see what I mean? So God has to get into our hearts, and he has to do some spiritual surgery and root out that idolatry.
Yes.
Because we've been serving other gods, music, other music, and saying that we are Christians. You see what I mean? This is what we're talking about. No wonder God's allowed this virus to come through. God allowed this to shut the church down. Because God wants to restore his house. That's why. God allows some things to happen and get us out of the house so that we can concentrate on the house. Does that make sense?
Amen.
We've got to see that. You got to see that God is in the midst of reconnecting some new cylinders, some new vows of humility. He's going to create a bypass leading to loyalty. He's going to connect another one leading to faith and obedience in the one true God. He's going to affect these things because he's the cornerstone, because he's the great physician, and only he can do it. Nobody else can do it.
Thank you, Lord.
So we've got the right one in operation, who actually is the only one that could truly heal us in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. If you want truth, there it is, okay?
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to say won't, but I did say won't, but there it is. You got to know that this is what the Lord wants.
Yes.
We need truth in our lives, saints.
Yes.
We need truth.
Yes.
Okay? For without the truth, we're going to be subject to follow untruths. We're going to continue to follow worldly wisdom,
yes,
false doctrine, and
it's
lies, and the whole thing. Whatever the world throws up to us,
yes,
we'll accept it.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we'll go around trying to be like the world if we're not careful.
Yes.
And that's why God is coming even stronger than ever. Because being led by our own deceitful heart's desires. And God knows this. That's why he commands us to turn to him first and foremost. We're supposed to turn to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, tell us, please. What does the word of God suggest to us in Jeremiah 29:13,
the Lord is saying, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You see, friends, God knows it's so important that we seek him out. And not only seek him, but find him. All
right?
And the only way to truly find God is to seek him with all your heart. And listen, let me tell you this too. And it doesn't say it in the Bible, but it does. When you find him, you got to mind him. Did you hear me? When you find him, you got to mind him.
Yes.
That's what the old folks used to say, isn't that right? I see some young people on Zoom and they're nodding their head like Sister Lucille. She's just a young baby. And she's the old folks used to say, you're going to mind me. You're going to mind somebody. Amen? So when you find God, you've got to mind God.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
What's the sense in finding God if we're not going to mind God? Huh? That's what he says. He says, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do the things I say? That's what Jesus himself said, okay? But how can you know if you are seeking God with your whole heart, with all your heart, when your heart is deceitful and you don't even know it? Do you see how tricky things can get? If you don't concentrate, that's why we looked at God's greatest commandment last week. That's why we paid attention. That's why this keeps coming up. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, or with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as it says in Mark 12:30, and then in Matthew 22:37. Over and over again, I repeat this scripture because this is what God truly desires for us, that we love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And don't think he's love-starved. No, he's not. No, he's not. He knows that we need to love him. Why? For our very own well-being.
Yes.
And you know that. Anybody with one good eye can see today that we need God. We need to be concentrating on God, okay? So God has made a way for each one of us, each of us as human beings, to know and discern what is required of us from God. Did you know that? God has made a way for each of us to know him. Even if you don't know him, do you know that he's made a way for you to know him?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Watch this. Let's first look at a few scriptures found in the book of Romans. Let's go there. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And let's go to Romans verse 18 and 19. I'm just going to ask Pastor to start right there. We're going to read a couple of these. But let's just look at it and examine what this says and see if we're on point here. This
Romans
is the word
1,
of God.
Romans 1
mm-hmm.
verses 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven mm-hmm. against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Okay.
Verse 19 says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
God has shown it to them.
It says, so the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That's what that first verse in 18 says. It says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Why? Because God has shown it to them. Now, that's what the scripture says. And that text explains that all ungodliness, all the unrighteousness, in other words, perpetrated by mankind, is subject to incurring the wrath of God.
Hmm.
So all the things we do that are unrighteous, that are ungodly, we can look for wrath coming down from God unless we enter into the right relationship. See, and why is that? Well, first verse 19 says, what may be known of God is manifest in us. It's been obviated in us. It's obvious to us. Okay? That's what it says. What may be known of God, meaning that how God operates and what God expects of us, he's shown it to us already. And you say, well, how can he show it to us already when I don't know the Lord? I didn't know the Lord, okay? I didn't know the Lord until 2004. I was 49 years old. I was out there, you all. I was a wild man from the rainforest, you might say, okay? I didn't know the Lord. Did I have an excuse? Kind of, sort of. But the Bible says no. See, I thought I had an excuse. I didn't know Jesus. I got to do what I got to do. But you know what? This Bible is saying that even in our unsophisticated natural sense, God has put something in you that you know God and you know right from wrong. He gave you a conscience. He gave you reason. And he said, that won't fly.
Yes.
Your ungodliness, your unrighteousness has to be dealt with. That's what he said. This is powerful stuff right here. Sometimes we just glance over things, but we got to read
this.
And I know that people can sometimes act as if they don't have a conscience at all. You ever seen that? You ever seen people do that? Act like they have no conscience at all. But the Bible says we can do better.
Amen.
Ain't nobody that crazy where they don't have a conscience. The Bible says we can do better. He said, I put something in you, okay? So even in our basic, raw nature, we still know right from wrong, don't we?
Amen.
Don't we? Somebody wrote a song that said, you don't pull on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't tear the mask off the old Lone Ranger. You don't mess around with Jim. So we know we don't mess around when it comes to this Bible, okay? Amen. In other words, there's some reason going on here. That's what it says. We got to be, God has put this in us already. We are without excuse according to this Bible. We are without excuse when it comes to those things. But now let's go to another verse. Let's go to verse 21, Pastor.
Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Their foolish hearts
were darkened.
Were darkened. Thank you, Pastor. Do you see that, saints? It says their foolish hearts were darkened. And we see that when we have knowledge of God, yet behave as if there is no God, there's no way we can glorify God. All right? And that's what we're talking about here. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God. Okay? And it says that when that happens, all right? When that happens, even in our degenerate nature and our unchurched or unlearned spiritual nature, okay, our hearts, as the Bible says, become, the Bible says, our foolish hearts. See, God puts emphasis.
Foolish
hearts were darkened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Didn't even know.
So you can understand how our hearts can be damaging our lives because our hearts are damaged themselves. Did you know that? That's what this Bible is showing us. So you got to be able to read this thing. You got to meditate on it. See, it's easy for you to do dirt when your heart is dirty and in a damaged state. You ever heard the term hurt people hurt people?
Yes.
See, when your heart is hurting, I heard a man or a woman, I heard both, recently say this: I'm 77 years old, and I'm going to do what I want to do according to this pandemic. What are they going to do? Lock me up?
I heard it too.
That's what a man said. He wanted to get out. And, in other words,
what do you want to do?
He's 77. So if he figures, if he dies, or if they shut him down, his business, he says, I don't care, I'm 77 years old.
Can't lock
me up. They ain't going to do lock me up. In other words, I don't have much time I don't have much more time to go. What about the young people that you might affect? What about somebody's grandchildren that you might spread a germ to? What about if you're asymptomatic and you don't even know it? See, that's a diseased heart. Mm-hmm. That's a heart that's saying, it's all yes. about me, Jesus. Yes. That's what we're talking yes. about. See, and that's why you can't get around this word. You can't sidestep the word of God. You can be a word wrangler all you want to and try to tie things up into a nice little bow to fit your needs, but this word is going to come out and put it on Front Street. And that's why we have to check our hearts. I heard a lady say the same thing. She said, I'm going to go and I'm going to see my grandchildren and I'm going to do this. Well, how long are you going to see them, ma'am? How long can you afford to go see your grandchildren if you haven't been tested? You can trust in God, but if you want to risk your life, but how about risking the lives of others? Is that fair? See, that's what we have to think about. That's what we have to think about, okay? It's easy to do dirt when your heart is damaged. Mm-hmm. When your heart is, and you don't even know you got a damaged heart. Mm-hmm. When there's a part that's wrong in your car, the car still runs, but there's something about to burst, you got to let God look in. And God said, you got a hose in you that's about to blow up. Pull over and let me work on it. You see mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's how it is. Some people don't know that they're on bald tires. They're riding on Maypops. Okay, they don't know it may pop any minute, but God knows when something's going to burst on you and yes. something's going to burst in you, okay? Yes. Whether it's a tire or an aneurysm, he knows how to slow people down, am I right? So we have to let our hearts be worked on by the Lord. And this is absolutely key. This is the word of God, all right? When that heart is damaged, you can do all kinds of things that wouldn't make sense. I'm seeing people committing all kinds of heinous acts without blinking an eye. And that's because of a darkened heart. He says, your foolish heart is darkened. That's what the Bible says. I heard just the other day a 20-year-old young man, you all may have seen it. I was just watching, listen, I just turned on Channel 7 to watch the bad news for a couple of minutes. And there it was. I just wanted to know what was going on in the county. And the bad news started coming over. It just started coming over, okay? And there was a 20-year-old man who went on a shooting spree. All right. And he was targeting innocent people. Why? Supposedly he felt rejected by a woman or a young girl. I think it was. He was 20 years. So this is probably a young person. And he felt, and then he said, somebody said he was bullied. And I also heard a reporter say that the guy admitted that he was tired of being quarantined. He was tired, you all. He didn't want to stay in the house anymore, so he reasoned in his mind that to come out and attempt to take the lives of innocent people. Why? You're outside, isn't that what you want? Should have stayed inside. You see what I'm talking about? So again, we know who's at the root of it, at the very root of it. Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy?
Satan,
the devil, right? We know that from John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil himself. He's always at the root of this level of wickedness, all right? But whatever the case, we also know that our darkened hearts play right into the devil's hands, don't they? He uses those hearts against us, okay?
Amen. The book of Joel says, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. To listen to today's message and previous broadcasts, go to spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And while you're there, connect and follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And if you've been blessed by today's message, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimony, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. Financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us live on Facebook, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the conclusion of the teaching series, What's in Your Heart with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is here.